Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. This is the conclusion, episode 223. This is part two, In All Things. Today is Sunday, December 4th, 2011.
I'd like to do a song of great social and political import. It goes like this. Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime. No help from my friends. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? Oh Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? Dialing for dollars is trying to find me. I wait for delivery each day until 3. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? Oh Lord, won't you buy me a night on the town? I'm counting on you, Lord. Please don't let me down. Prove that you love me and buy the next round. Oh Lord, won't you buy me a night on the town? Everybody, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime. No help from my friends. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? That's it.
Yes, I said my three S's. Smile, star, strong. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. What? I'm doing the podcast. Oh no. Where was I? Okay. I am coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's Club is located in Disciples Ministries historic Micro Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. If you need food, you live anywhere in Minnesota, you're living in a household of two or more, maybe you're a senior, 60 years and older, or disabled with proof, you can come to Pastor Paul's Monday through Friday between 9:30 and 10:30 to register your household for monthly groceries. There's a lot of food here. Don't be shy. What you need to bring is a picture ID, a current piece of mail, and verify your household members. And bring extra bags. There's a lot of free bread outside. Okay. You can visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where those of you who don't need food can make a tax-deductible donation to support Pastor Paul's Club. You can also leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony at the blog. All right. Scripture links. Yes. At Pastor Paul's blog, you're going to find some scripture links there that Pastor Paul uses within his message. I have gone to a lot of trouble to go find those links for you so you can have a private Bible study on your own. So be sure to check those out. And the month of December. Okay, here's the lineup for the podcast. Four messages starting with In All Things, Consolation, Grower or Growee, Cry Out for Deliverance. And for New Year's, I'm going to give you January's just because I want to. Why is the name of the message. And why are we doing this podcast? Well, it's a lot of fun. And I hope you're getting something out of it. Like the meaning of life. I want to end December with just a special little conversation between Danny Rose and Tina Vitale, one of my favorites. Here goes. Danny Rose. My rabbi, Rabbi Perlstein, used to say, we're all guilty in the eyes of God. Tina Vitale. Do you believe in God? Danny Rose. No, but I'm guilty over it. Danny Rose. It's very important to be guilty. I'm guilty all the time, and I never did anything. For all you guilt-ridden people out there, listen to Pastor Paul's every Friday for part one, every Sunday for part two. God bless you, and have a great month of December. And keep your gifts under $50.
Death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, height, depth, or anything else in all creation, wow, will be able to separate us from the love of God. Now, legalistic preacher, listen to this. Will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Whew. Nothing can separate you. Now that's, I believe that it's just like swinging up on them 10 wild horses. Stick your foot in the stirrup, swing yourself up into the saddle and ride it out. Ride out what I'm talking about here tonight. And the first one is death. Now death is something nobody wants to talk about. Well, death will take you to where you can grow. The Bible says, "Have you had your death today?" You ask your kids, "Did you drink your milk today?" God asks you, "Did you have your death today?" I die daily. Oh, by the way, did you have your death today? Don't be sad about it. Who needs it? You need to die. Maybe there's something you should die to tonight. Have you had your death today? I think I'll write a song. Have you had your death today? Probably wouldn't be too popular. Have you had your death today? Now, I know a lot of you listening on the radio haven't died in a long time. You're most alive. I know, because I get some letters from you. Isn't there a song? Da 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 da. What's that song? No, it's not the hamburger song. It's something else. I'm not talking about McDonald's. This is another song. Have you had a death today? Maybe that's why you're feeling so lousy. Do you ever notice when you're sick, sometimes you have to throw up and you feel better? Don't feel so good when it's coming up, but after it's over and you got cold sweat all over your head and you wipe your forehead off and everything, oh, you feel better. Maybe that's what's wrong in the Christian community, that people are too much alive in themselves. Maybe they have to have that 8-hour depression just before their death. But now don't let me encourage you, depressed wimps. See, some people like to be depressed every other day. Now, I went 25 years in between depressions. I mean, real heavy-duty ones. And I didn't ask for that one. It's probably because I didn't die. Are you hearing this? Are you hearing it? No, we no longer belong to those who through fear of death are all their life subject, the Bible says, to bondage. Maybe you have to die to alcohol tonight. Bible says, I die daily. Maybe that's your problem. You don't want to die to alcohol. That was my problem for a good long time. Jim, let me say 3 or 4 words before you say amen, okay? No, don't do that. Maybe there's something here tonight that you got to die to. Don't do that. Go on out of here then, Jim, if you aren't going to listen to me. Maybe there's something you got to die to tonight. Maybe, Jim, you need to die to something tonight. Maybe I need to die of being afraid of telling people the truth. Maybe I need to tell. Maybe I need to be more truthful. Maybe you help people by telling them the truth. Knock off the amens and get right with God. Stop saying amen and get right and stop drinking. Now that's clear enough, isn't it? Maybe it's time we get bold in our ministry. Take him out of here if he can't listen to me. How many are hearing this message tonight? I'm not down here playing games. I'm putting my life into this thing. Are you hearing it? This is no joke. This is no joke, Jim. 2 Corinthians 12 and 7 through 10. I want you to listen to it. And because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. To keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I entreated the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. For thou art with me. And so now Paul says, here's another thing that might separate us, life. Sometimes people are really afraid to live. When I was into my alcohol and into my drugs and into my embezzling, it was because I was afraid of life. Are you hearing this? Look up here. Well, life is right now. Are you hearing this? Life is right now. Turn the tape off. Jim? Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And so we have another thing, life. That's kind of scary sometimes, isn't it? See, a lot of people aren't afraid of death. But they're afraid of life. They're afraid of life right now. Life is, I've got to get a job. Life is, I got to stop drinking. Life is, I have to stop depending on drugs. Life is, I have a family to feed. Life is, I must face situations every day. Not just living. We have to minister sometimes in a type of hell. Life is, I'm afraid, a man called me the other day. I'm so afraid of crowds. Or I'm so afraid of failing. Or I'm so afraid of looking bad. I'm so afraid of living. I'm so afraid of talking to people. I might fail. I mean, do people like me? I can't walk into that room. There's too many people. I can't stand up in front of people. I don't love my wife. I don't love my husband. I could just scream. Or, oh my God, I'm so lonesome. Oh, I hate myself. That's living, see. Why can't I love people? Now, sometimes life is hard and cruel, but it still can't separate us from God's love, can it? Says we can do all things well through Christ who strengthens us. You've got to look at it that way, that Christ has already conquered life, or you'll never be able to go on. Never. We just say, God, this is too much, I want out of it. See? No, this is too much, I want to get into it. I mean, you're going to see me get into it more, eh? Hey, I mean, I want to get into it. The only way out of this world is really getting into it, okay? The really way not to fear things, but to get right into it. Grab it by the horns and wrestle it to the ground. And then, like I said, have you had your death today? Well, go to bed with that half alive, half death. Die. See, there's things we have to die to. We have to die to fear. We have to die to being wimps. Right? Say amen, somebody. Yeah. Hebrews 2, and we'll start in verse 4 here. Listen to this, it's good. God also bearing witness with them, both by signs and wonders and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit according to His own will. Listen to this. This is important. God also bearing witness with them, both by signs and wonders and various miracles, by gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to His own will. A lot of times you'll see where we try to direct the Holy Spirit. And we'll try to have this explosion or that explosion. And it ends up with a fizzler. Do you ever have a firecracker that's a fizzler? For He did not subject to the angels of the world to come concerning which we are speaking. But one has testified somewhere saying, what is man that thou art rememberest him? Or the son of man that thou art concerned about him? Thou hast made him for a little while lower than the angels for a little while. Thou hast crowned him with glory and honor, and it has appointed him over the works of thy hands. Now that's a miracle. That is a miracle. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in subjecting all things to him, and they're all going to come to him for a testing and a trial, for a nakedness and apparel and the sword ministry, for in subjecting all things to him, he left nothing that is not subject to him. But you got to go through it. But now we do not yet see all things subjected to him. But we do see him who has made for a little while lower than the angels, namely Jesus, because of the suffering of the death, crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. So you don't have to have that fear anymore. For it was fitting for him for whom are all things, that through whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to the perfect author of their salvation through sufferings. It's a perfect salvation, but it's through sufferings. For both he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all from one Father, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Ooh. Are you hearing this? A guy called me the other day and says, oh, life is so full of fears. He says, I refuse to live it. I said, what are you going to do, jump off a building? How are you going to commit this suicide? What are you talking about? I said, our life is joyful. The devil says, refuse life. It's full of fears. It's too big for you. Now, don't be afraid of your life. Life is a joy. I'm going to tell you how to get that joy. First, the suffering, and then the joy. Let's say that one big wrestler had a hold of you, and he had one foot in your armpit, and he was twisting your leg. Wouldn't that feel good when he let go? Wouldn't it? Well, that's where your faith comes in. You mean a bully never got a hold of you and twisted your big toe or got you around the neck? Didn't it feel good when he let go? We do have joy, you know. The joy comes when you don't wimp out. Are you hearing it? And when you're not afraid to die. Even though you don't look good, you're not popular, none of these things, that's a type of death, helps you die, brings you into a temporary depression. Once every 25 years, that's enough for a real deepie. And you die to gain your life. Well, the Bible says, can angels separate us? Can they separate you from joy and happiness and prosperity and a good job and friends? No. You know what God made you for? Joy. You know how to get it? In all things. Well, okay, in a rose garden and with plenty of money and all those things and prosperity and all those. In persecution, nakedness, peril, and sword. Famine. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Height nor depth. Principalities, powers. No, you're made for joy. And how do you get it? You go for it. Get right in the middle of it. Do you want it? How many want joy in here? Cowards never have joy. Never. They're too busy running all the time. They're too miserable. Okay, we are in John 15 and 7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just it goes on, as the Father loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken to you, that my joy may be in you. Now that's the secret. The joy of the Lord is your strength. That my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than one that would lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. Well, what's the Lord going to ask you to do? Well, whatever he asks you to do, obey him. And you know what? The obedience brings you joy. The obedience reaps you the reward, which is joy. And when you make the Lord happy, he grabs a hold of that little bit of joy that you have, and that joy, that your joy may be made full. Wow. You mean I can be happy when I'm in all of this persecution and trial and nakedness and peril and so? Do you want to really be miserable? Step out of that and have somebody give you $1 million and leave your post and go off someplace and try to have a good time out there. You'll hurry back to the persecution and distress, and nakedness, perils, and the sword. You'll hurry back to it. You say, here, keep your $1 million. I want to go down there on the hobo run. You hearing this? See, everything has to serve you when you hand it over to Jesus. Your body has to serve you when you hand it over to Jesus. Your desires have to serve you when you hand them over to Jesus. That's the secret. That's it. It's great, ain't it? It's a hard way to get it. No, it's a shortcut. It's right in it. You know, you can walk around problems. You can walk around. God, well, stay away from that problem. What do you suppose the man that was laying there, and he was bleeding, and the priest went around him, and then this guy went, and then the sinner came along and picked him up. Who do you think had peace? Hey, there's nothing better for me tonight. At night, I go home and I can lay down. I can go to sleep. God. To just lay down my head and just lay down there and go to sleep. No hypnotic spells. No drugs. No alcohol. And just lay down and go to sleep. You know how much people would pay for that kind of peace? See, peace is a grown-up joy. You hearing this? To just lay down and go to sleep. Can principalities, the Bible, can principalities separate us? Like the dominant things on this earth? Loyalty to the group? Everybody's doing it. No, we must let God become our principality. And then the group loses its power to separate us. Nor things present, the Bible says. What's that? Your house and your car? Your family? Your clothes? See, we don't live in this monotonous things present, but in the stimulus of Jesus, who shows us things are to use, not to cherish. You just use things. And then it goes on, things to come. A fear of the future. Will I make it? Will I be able to hang on to what I do make? Fear of old age. Well, don't look in the mirror every 5 seconds. That'd scare me to death. You guys out there, when you first start to go bald, you see a little quarter on the back of your head or see the receding hairline or whatever like that. See, God, I'm getting old. I'm going to be bald like my mother. Why'd you say mother? Because then the women can get in on the thing too. Oh, no, I'm getting gray. Oh, look, right here. And you have to take a magnifying glass to see some people. I'm getting gray. Where? I don't see no gray hair. Oh, right here. And they part 40,000 hairs so you can see one gray hair up there. See? I say, well, just praise God they're gray and they're still hanging in there. I ain't got none. No, but look at these. I'm getting little wrinkles. I know. Look, see? See right here. Look, I'm getting old. Huh? How many people fear old age? Oh, no, God, I never thought I'd get to this. I sound just like my mother, I hear someone saying on the radio. I used to hate her, and now I'm sounding just like her. Now, many people are afraid of going crazy because they have an aunt far removed that is in the mental ward, or sister, or someone else. Hey, everybody belongs in the mental ward, as far as I'm concerned, at least once a week. But there's insanity in our family. So what's new? There's insanity in every family. Well, how do you know that? Well, you're because of you. Now, many people are afraid of going crazy, and they're already crazy, thinking about going crazy. They drive themselves crazy. Isn't that crazy? God, what am I going to do when I retire? Gee, I don't know what I'm going to do. Oh, gee, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know. Well, why retire? I said, a guy was talking to me, he said, I don't know what I'm going to do when I retire. I said, come on down and donate some time. That's what you're going to do. Well, I'll pray about it. I just answered your, I took care of your problem. Already you're talking your way out of it, praying your way out of it. I'll pray my way out of it. That's what he was saying. And another woman called, she's fearful of getting married. Now, I'm just going to wait, she says, until I see a perfect marriage. I says, well, then you're going to wait forever. First, I said, you'll have to get perfect yourself. So when one comes along, you don't ruin it. Another woman called, I'm so afraid. I'm so afraid I'll wake up in the morning and he'll be gone, or she'll be gone. This is a common fear with people. Huh? I'm so fearful I have a job interview tomorrow. What do I say? Don't say anything. Don't show your ignorance. Keep your mouth shut. Just answer the questions. And so he goes in and he makes wrong confessions. I didn't get the job I wanted in. I had to tell the truth. Oh, I really don't have much experience here and I don't have much there. Maybe you don't want me. I suppose you don't, right? Right. Fear of your parents dying. I had that fear with my dad for years. Don't fear things to come. You won't enjoy what's happening right now. And you know what? A lot of times things don't even happen that you fear. How about expecting something beautiful to happen? It's like I was ministering a couple of weeks ago. I was driving along and I thought, my God, nothing would surprise me anymore. And the Lord spoke to me, says, nothing would surprise you anymore? How about a good surprise? Or can't you be surprised? I says, oh God, I'm sorry. Surprise me real good. And he did. Don, are you in there? God surprised me. Did you see that one check in there? It was a surprise. Just enough to pay the heat bill. No big, colossal thing. But we got the heat on. Is this a nice surprise, isn't it? Better than bundling up in parkas and earmuffs and stuff. Isn't that a miracle? Paul, how about a good surprise? How about a beautiful thing happening? How about waiting on that one, Paul? How about it? How about it? How about it? Okay, Lord. Wow. 2 Corinthians here. 2 Corinthians 4, starting in verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. You've got Jesus inside of your earthen vessel. Okay. That the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not despairing. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, that the life of Christ Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, that he may live in you more. That's what it's saying. That the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. Will you die to receive new life, the life of Christ? Now listen. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death works in us, but life in you. But having the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore also we speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. And for all things are for your sakes, that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. Now it says, nor anything else in all creation. And let me wrap it up. Powers can't separate us. Communism can't separate us. Personal situations can't separate us. A husband that says, I'm the power, or a wife that says, she's the power, can't separate us. The Bible says, but we belong to the kingdom of God. We are free from the power struggles. You're not in a power struggle. You have the power in you. We are inwardly free. Now that's what keeps me going, to know that I am inwardly free. Inwardly. Outwardly, you might not look like it, but inwardly you're free. So you can lay down in that prone position I was going through, lay down there and go to sleep. Now, some people out there would like to have that. And then it goes on, or height. Now, a lot of people are afraid of heights. Hello there, Jim. We're going to promote you. You're going to be the vice president of General Motors. And you start wondering, boy, that's a high position. Will I be able to handle it? Hebrews 10 and 38, if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Take your success and use it. We take our success and we put it at the feet of Jesus Christ. See, your success shouldn't go to your head. Your success should go at the feet of Jesus Christ. All your successes, all the successes in this food ministry, you got to give God the glory, and you have to say, Lord, we place this gift at your feet. Your grace has caused this to happen. Let me lock it up now. Depth. Now, if height can't separate us, neither can depth. Depression. But when some were stubborn and disbelieved, speaking evil the way before the congregation, he withdrew from them, taking his disciples, it says, with him, and argued daily in the hall of Tyrannus. This continued for 2 years, so that all the residents in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. That should have got Paul down, shouldn't it? He should have really got depressed. You know what he did? He rode depression to death. right into battle. He crawled up on the horse of depression, put his foot in the stirrup, and swung aboard this depressive state, this depth. And he used that thing. And he rode it right into the battle. He went in that way, and he came out more than a conqueror through Christ who strengthened him. But you got to write it. You got to write it out. You got to persevere. Now, lastly, nor anything else in all creation. What's it saying? Nothing, absolutely nothing can separate us from the love of God. One more scripture. In Christ Jesus. And here is, this is 2 Corinthians 4. No, we won't go into that. We went into that, just went into that one. But you, do you get what I've tried to preach here tonight? Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Can tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword. All to the Christian world right now are negative things. But it's the only way you're going to have any kind of joy and have you died today. There's a death. You have to die daily to have the joy. You say, well, I'm just going to die to that depression. Die to it. Can someone that's dead, can you depress someone that's dead? Hey, come on, get depressed. No, they're dead. Die to that. That's your problem today? Die to it. You want joy? Well, it says that you die daily so that Christ may grow in you. Who's death's to have? Another thing is, are you willing to die? Not that you always have to die to things. You die daily, but maybe there's something in there that you're willing to die to. See, it's the willingness that'll take you through. Are you willing? How willing are you? Are you willing to stay, having done all that, are you willing to stay in the battle? And you know what? At the very end of it, you got joy. I had joy today. Total, unreserved, jumping up and down, laughing, giggling, gut-busting joy. Because I went through. I rode that horse right on through. That's the way out of this thing. Ride it out. Father, I want to thank you in Jesus' name for this audience here tonight and for that precious radio audience. God, we just want to thank you right now for the help that they've been sending our way, the precious money they've been sending in to the, bringing this ministry, Lord, and helping it, bringing it up into where it should be, Lord, money-wise. And we just thank you, radio audience right now, listening audience. And just keep that cards and letters coming and keep that money coming in to feed the poor down here on this north side. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
There you have it. That was the conclusion to episode 223. That was part two, In All Things. If you missed part one, just go to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. There you're going to find all of Pastor Paul's podcasts. You're also going to find the show notes. Within those show notes are scripture links. Be sure to check those out. Next Friday, join us for part one of Consolation. Have a great week. We'll see you back here every Friday for part one and every Sunday for part two. God bless you.
You got to move, child. You got to move. the line.